Well, I don't know whether you feel like me, but where has 2018 gone? It's the 30th of December, one more day till New Year's Eve, and approaching this year end, if you were in finance, I think you'd be thinking about how to settle accounts and write up the balance sheet of all that has been happening in the year. And perhaps we should think about doing the same, considering how our balance is. And as we reflect upon the year end, and as we reflect on what has been happening on the year, we need to consider the possibility that we should think about doing things differently. Are we happy with the direction that we've been taking? Are we happy with the spiritual state we are in, as Paul wrote to the Colossians, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved? Do we acknowledge and respond to both the freedom and the responsibility that being God's chosen ones is laid upon us? Who is accompanying you on your journey of life? And it is interesting, as we read the story of Mary and Joseph when they took Jesus, when he was about 12, up to the temple. Even they didn't realize that actually when they returned, they were not walking with him. They were going in their own direction because he was not with them at that time. So they had to turn round and find him. And that's a position that we often find ourselves in, that we are going off in our own way and we need to turn again and find Jesus. Because as we start walking with him and lose direction, we need to let him guide us and walk with us. I was sharing with somebody how I sometimes, when I'm out walking the dog, and wanting to feel particularly too close to the Lord, will put my hand down as if he is holding that. And I discovered that this person I was talking to does much the same. It's good to have that in our mind, hold the hand of Jesus as he walks with us along our way. And as he is leading us, we need to look in the direction in which he is taking us. Why, you might wonder, did Paul write his letter to the church at Colossae? Well, primarily two reasons. One was to refute the heretical teaching that was being promoted at that time, challenging the divinity of Christ, challenging the reason for his death, challenging his very ministry. And it was also to instruct the church on how to live a holy life. The beginning of this chapter 3, if you do look at it, talks about comparing the old self with the new. It instructs us that we should be focusing on heaven, not on earth, to live as the reborn people we are through our baptism. An image which links to that of baptism, which Paul uses here, is about clothing ourselves. And, of course, in the days of baptism in the early church, where you would have had the baptistry, the candidate for baptism, the catechesis would have stripped off their old clothes, would have been baptized, and then been clothed in new robes. And Paul writes about that here, where he says, "Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And earlier in the chapter, put away all things, take off those things that in fact lead us away from Christ, and put on the new self. I find it interesting how Paul is very blunt. He talks as he sees, and he challenges the church. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. We perhaps are a little hesitant in speaking about these things. And especially when he talks about the behavior that we should give up. And as we look to putting off the old and taking on the new, as we reflect on this year that's passed, we need to think perhaps about reforming relationships. If they are fragile, then care for them, nurture them, help them to grow. If they are broken, then seek to mend them, seek reconciliation with whoever it might be, whether in our fellowship, in our community, that we need to say, I'm sorry for what has happened. Let us forgive and move on. The new self desires us to take on kindness and humility, to have compassionate hearts, to have meekness and patience. And especially, as we read in verse 13, to bear with one another, to have forbearance, to accept that there are different ways of doing things and to rejoice in them, because in those different ways we can point one another to God. And in that modelling of Christ that we are all called to do, we need to learn from his forgiveness and tolerate one another's idiosyncrasies. Verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It's like the belt that pulls our clothing together, keeps us ready for the walk with Christ that he calls us to. And Paul is stressing that it is love which is the perfect bond. Again, part of the heresy that he was combating was that of the Gnostics, who professed that the perfection came from our knowledge rather than love. And Paul is stressing that no, it is love that overrules all. In these readings this morning, we can see that there is a priority of the word, of wisdom, and of worship. We need to be growing inward as well as growing outward and upward, growing inward in our own spiritual stature and growing outward and upward in those relationships I've spoken about, outward to our community and our friends and family and upward to God. Interesting that in both the passage from 1 Samuel, if you glance back at that, and also in the passage from Luke, the writers talk about both Samuel and Jesus growing in wisdom, increasing in stature and in favour with the Lord. And that should be how we encourage one another. In verse 16 of chapter 3 from our reading, Paul writes, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Soak up that word. Puts me in mind of what I'm sure you did when you, on Stir Up Sunday, prepared your Christmas pudding and let the brandy soak into the mixture for your Christmas pudding. So too, we need to let God's word soak in us. How can we do that? By reading God's word daily, by studying it, and by sharing its teaching. And how can we go about that? Well, there are many Bible plans, Bible reading notes. And if you're interested and would like to pursue those, then do let me know and I can give you some suggestions. We've recently had an Advent study group where we were able to explore God's word together, to learn from one another and to share God's teaching. And I would be delighted if several of you said, let us have another study group. Let us come together to share God's word and grow together. Certainly I would hope that we did something in Lent, but we don't have to wait till then. I would just encourage us to get together and learn from what God has to say to us. In wisdom, says Paul, teach and admonish one another. Again, something we find hard to do. What have I got to do? What has any of us got to do with the lives of others in our fellowship? Well, actually, a lot more than we perhaps take up. We don't do perhaps what we should, and what if we read the letters particularly, read them closely, would teach us about how to encourage one another, how to draw someone back into the fellowship if they have strayed, to encourage them back to living a godly life. We perhaps have become too much of the postmodern when we say, well, it's entirely how people live. Is that right within our fellowship? Should we not be drawing people back to faith if we see them slipping away? I'm reminded by the passage in Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us encourage one another to meet and to sing and to worship, which is the last of our three of the word of wisdom and worship. As Paul writes here, sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude. And we're sharing in some of those favourites today and hearing the stories behind them. And it's important as we come to worship, as we sing in praise of God, to give thanks to him for what he has given us. In verse 15, we read, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and be thankful. And at the end, he says, give thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do, whether in action or in speech, should be in Jesus' name. That last verse 17. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is what we do to his glory? Would his blessing be on it? Can I give thanks for what I am doing, what I am saying, what I am thinking? And as we settle accounts in our mind, in our prayer, as we come to the end of this year, let us pray that God will help us to refocus our direction and the purpose of our being. And with the psalmist, that we can always seek to say alleluia and to praise the Lord. Amen.